That's how we own it.
Hey, everybody. I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are the host of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet. You are hilarious sometimes. Not all the time, but you're funny a little bit today.
Listen, I'm just trying to have a good time. It's Juneteenth. You know, we celebrating being Black, you know, and loving to be
being
Black.
Being semi-free.
Semi-free. You know, we moving in the process. And you know, we moving on the trajectory of freedom. So I'm just celebrating my Blackness and my trajectory to freedom.
Yeah. You know, it's a time that I can feel in my bones something can happen. Something great can happen. How we get there is going to take us to even grow in our own leadership. And that's what's in front of us. That even we, evolutionary, that's right. Even we have to grow. You know, we talked last week about this idea that people will say, well, I don't hear y'all talking. I don't hear you saying, it's not always time to talk. Sometimes you have to sit back and really strategize. And I have done this many times where, you know, you don't see me as much in the public sphere, where, you know, of course you see me with a state of emergency, but on other things, we're kind of putting pieces of a plan.
The number one book you're talking about? Yeah, bestseller book?
But, you know, we're putting pieces of a plan together. And what I appreciate about this moment that we're in is so powerful. It's like pregnant with opportunity. You got all the things. You have an administration in place that knows they cannot become president again without us. So we can really kick them into gear, if you will, if we come together, right? Then you have young people that are bold, courageous, intelligent, amazing, creative, all over the country that are doing great work. You also have change. You have some painful change. And I think with those shifts, with some of these difficult conversations that we're having in the movement, it's important and they've had to happen. This is not new, right? So we have to have those, like a birthing process of a new thing. And even though it's still a passing of the baton, but there always are sort of innovative moments. And so it's a good place to be, but in order to really kick us to the next spot, we're going to have to be extremely strategic about it. And so there's a lot to learn. And it's like we've got to, and the book is that. State of emergency is that. You got to educate people on where we've been. Then you've got to bring them up to speed on a strategic plan and then execute. And we've got a little bit of time to be able to do all those things. And then, of course, in the city we live in New York City, we've got to educate people on ranked choice voting. Bring them up to speed in terms of the strategic process, and then execute it during an election. It's a lot to do, a whole lot to do.
It's a lot to do, man. And the guns is going crazy in the streets. We in Gun Violence Awareness Month, and they just out here, these young boys are just out here shooting each other, man. And I've really been, like you said, been just being quiet and silent because I'm tired of saying, let's stop shooting. And I really realized that we have to do something bigger than that. You know, shout out to New Paul. She organized a couple of weeks back. She organized a peace treaty with some Blood and Crip gang in Brooklyn that she asked me to help her facilitate along with our brother A.T. Mitchell. And it was really, you know, enlightening. I sat in the room with these young brothers and just listening to their mind states. And there's some young, brilliant brothers. You know, they're caught in the gang culture, and a lot of them are believing myths, you know, and they're seeing people as quote unquote ops that are not. And their rules of engagement are so off, man. So I realized that there has to be a restructuring of mind state. There has to be a reconstructing of what manhood looks like, what, you know, realness and this quote unquote vision of quote unquote gangster looks like, you know. So that's what I've been contemplating lately, just sitting back, being silent, saying, you know, I know there's something I need to be doing right now, and just asking for clarity just to formulate what that looks like. So, you know, we all on our missions, man.
We've got a great show coming up today. A lot of information that we're going to pack into the entire show. In fact, we won't have two guests because this one guest is about five guests in one person. His name is Leo Alexander. He lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He is an entrepreneur, a businessman. Some people call him a patent master, where he has the patent for so many different innovative ideas. He has the patent for so many different inventions, a lot of technology, also did great work during COVID, the height of COVID, to get masks out, making masks and getting them distributed to communities. A Black man, again, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who believes that Tulsa should be everywhere, that Black Wall Street should be everywhere. And so he's going to be coming on.
Now, before we do that, we're going to go to our resident brand expert, LaToya Bond.
Thank you, Tamika and my son, and welcome to the Brand Market. I'm LaToya Bond, your resident brand whisperer. Today, we have a special brand. And as you know, Tamika D. Mallory is also one of the co-founders of Until Freedom. And one of the ways that you guys can support the work that they do is by purchasing merchandise. And I have to say, the merchandise is pretty fly. It's great quality and it's unisex. It works for men and women. I'm gonna toss back to Tamika and my son so they can tell you all about Until Freedom and how you can support their movement.
For us, freedom is when people like us, freedom fighters, protesters, are no longer needed on the front lines every day, the way that we are now. Freedom would put organizations like ours out of business. It would mean that men and women and children and our siblings wouldn't be being killed, shot down, and dealing with so many of the ills that are oppressing Black, brown, and disenfranchised folks across this country and across the world. I feel like people think that freedom is not possible, it's not attainable. But we believe that there is a beloved community and that when we get to that place, it will be true freedom.
Tamika's speech, although it was amazing.
It wasn't the one.
It's not that it wasn't the one. It's just that we've been amazing around Tamika, and I heard a speech the next day that to me was even more moving. I've heard a speech 3 years ago that was more moving. I'm glad the world, you know, finally heard
Tamika
recognize, you know, what we've all known for this time. You know, when she always tries to fight, that she's pretty much our leader. But the reality of the situation is, we don't move in fear. You know, we understand what comes with this work. You know, like Malcolm X said, if you're not willing to die for it, then you got to take the word freedom out of your mouth.
That's
you know, and each one of us here has made a commitment to this life. We've made a commitment to our people. We have made a commitment to the betterment of our communities. I look at my son every day and say, this world just has to be better for him
than
it was for me. So, of course, we are concerned, we pay attention, we're conscious, but I don't move in fear. And, you know, because I know where my heart is, I know that God got us, I know that we're here for a purpose, I know that we're living out our purpose, I know that exactly what I said before, I was put here for this exact moment. So whatever comes with that, if my life, you know, however long I live, I'm gonna live it in authenticity, I'm gonna live it fighting for my people, and I'm gonna live it for justice.
Visit untilfreedom.com for more information. I fight until freedom.
Thank you, Tamika and my son. I know you weren't expecting this, and I know that you didn't create this platform to promote your own business. However, you guys are on the front line fighting for us every day. You sacrifice so much. You give so much, so that I think it's important that the community know how they can support your work and how they can support your movement. If you guys are interested in having your products featured on the Brand Market, you can find us at the BBM Agency on Instagram and click the link in the bio for more info.
That's how we own it.
We're going to hear right now from Leo Alexander of Notavani. His company has an interesting name, and he's going to tell us more about what it means and what he's doing there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So thank you so much for joining us, Leo.
Thanks for having us.
So tell us about your company name. What does it mean? And
say it first so we can make sure we're saying it right.
That's right.
No problem. It's Notavani. It's innovation spelled backwards. So a lot of times we as inventors have to look in the mirror. When you put the word Noi Divine in the mirror, it just speaks out innovation. Now, innovation is quite different from invention and innovation. Invention is typically what inventors do when they have one eureka moment. One eureka moment that they want to commercialize. And that eureka moment could be something as simple as a hair clip, right? And that hair clip is something that you work the rest of your life selling. Well, that's an inventor, and we understand that there's places in the market for that. But innovators are actually those that actually have a certain set of skills that are resource aligned, directed at problems. Innovators bring solutions to problems. And that's what our company has been doing for the past 13 years. And that's what we promoted. It's a totally new name. It's an inaugural in the world of technology.
Wow. So you are such an innovator that everything you do, I imagine, innovator, but you know, you're so much of a creative person that I imagine everything you do has a purpose. All, you know, obviously the name of your company has a purpose. And now you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Is that where you're from? How did you end up in Tulsa? Was your family raised there?
After 13 years of developing our company the way that we did, as you know, we're an international company. I typically lead off with everyone saying that I was only born in America, but I was made in China. My company started in Houston, Texas, but I'm from Louisiana. And as a young man, the term Black Wall Street never meant a GPS location to me. The term Black Wall Street meant that there was a stock market or a Wall Street out there that fit my criteria as a Black man. Mm. Black Wall Street meant economics. It did not mean a GPS location. It wasn't Greenwood. In fact, I was totally unaware of the massacre that occurred, because coming from the Deep South, when you heard the term Black Wall Street, you always thought back to the prosperity, the great things that you had heard about in those stories from our ancestors, right? The stories of how these entrepreneurial-minded individuals built an entire economy for themselves and then really motivated generations to come. I'm a product of Black Wall Street, even though I'm not from here. So 4 years ago, I made the conscious decision to move my manufacturing company, Noi Divine and EOC, to Tulsa as a means of rebuilding what I always thought was the Black Wall Street. Mm. It wasn't necessarily Greenwood or anything else. It was just that we had the capacity and the resources, and we wanted to be the staple of the rebuild.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, it says that you are award-winning innovator, and tell us some of the things that you've created. Like, you know, I heard of some things that people would be surprised.
Well, one of the things that always shocks people is all of us are in the world of streaming right now and remote and distance communication. But one of the first technologies, the kernel technologies that made even streaming possible, was the ability to share the screen of your phone to another device wirelessly, right? We call it mirror casting or screen sharing, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm the inventor of mirror cast technology. The way that you share a smartphone to any other mobile device, and exactly the nesting ground for what we know as screen sharing and streaming. So a lot of my earlier technologies were around energy and really monitoring different assets for our U.S. government. So where are you guys from originally? You guys are from inclement areas where you have blackouts and brownouts?
Sometimes, you know. Yeah. If we're in New York City, blackouts are happening in the summer.
Well, you have a lot less of them now, because after 2007, you wouldn't have known that the utility companies wouldn't have known that you had a blackout unless you called them. And now the pole top transformers tell the utility companies their health and condition. While my technology, the UTMD monitor, was the purpose for them doing that. It initiated the term smart grid. So I owned smart grid system back in 2007, and it's part of our national power grid right now. Every utility company utilizes some bit of that technology.
Is there sort of like a I guess you sign NDAs, and is there confidentiality for when you help to design? Like, in other words, the better question is,
absolutely,
have you designed and invented more than we know, the things we're probably using every day that you would never be able to tell us that you actually were involved in?
From 2009 to now, I've developed 218 unique electronic products that plug into a wall for companies that I'm still under gag order about speaking, right? Some would say that every 5 minutes you're gonna interact with something that either has our kernel technology embedded in it or something that I personally designed.
This is the Black history and the Black present we should be talking about. We're supposed to be celebrating brothers like yourself, but yet we don't even know that this is happening. You know, so I just want to applaud you and say, you know, give you your flowers now and say that we truly appreciate, you know, your contributions just to culture and just to our living. The living that we exist in right now is a result of a lot of things that you've done. And I just want to ask this, you know, you said that you went to Tulsa because you wanted to recreate that. You wanted to build that. It was synonymous with innovation. It was synonymous with, you know, Black people building and growing. What do you think is going to take to actually rebuild that?
Look at Reverend Jack.
Before I answer that question, I gotta get my guy in here. All right, is that okay?
Yeah. Reverend Jack, and you know how much we love you.
Love you too.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's genius.
Yeah, man, he is a genius. You know, we didn't know about him, Reverend, and we're learning, you know, now about this gentleman, Mr. Alexander, that it should be, you know, we should all be applauding his work and supporting him, helping him. And I'm sure you're there trying to figure out how you can help, right?
Was basically linked to civilization's communication. So we must know who he is and tell our story, because it defies all of racist logic. Racism assumes that one's inferior, with the inferior part of it. Reason is unscientific, it's not true.
Yeah.
This is divisive, economically exploitative. God made an error when he made somebody Black. He challenged God himself. And this defies all that foolishness.
That's powerful. The last time we saw you, it was where my son and
Minnesota. The last time we seen the Reverend was at where we cried together when we got the conviction at Chauvin case, the Chauvin trial.
Mm-hmm.
Cried. Me, you, him, Sharpton, and we cried as he looked at me and said, he actually lived to see a man get charged for killing a Black man.
That's about it. When you make a lynching a federal crime, which is not, that's a touchdown. When you make a violating Blacks a hate crime against Jews and Asians now, touchdown. We always have national application problem, not just local.
Amen. Can I ask you a question? I want to know, what do you think is going to take to rebuild Black Wall Street, to get us back to that level of prominence, to where we build our own cities and have our own running organizations and have our own culture, everything, just our own things? What do you think is going to take?
Well, I think first, we need to kind of change the narrative and change the educational structure of what our own Black Wall Street is. Today, if I tried to promote a one Wall Street for one Black economy, I would literally be going against my moral compass. Let me explain that. Understand our economy is a global one. And the color of that economy should also be multiple colors. The only way that the Indians and the Asians got their Chinatowns and their Indian towns was by building or cultivating those talents into products and businesses that the world wanted to buy.
Mm-hmm. You see those Chinatown, a block of massage parlors and restaurants and something. That's not where the real strip is.
That's not the strip.
The strip is beyond that. That's where they kind of gather and do a little cultural stuff.
That's the point. It's not a physical locale.
You put the television on now and you can push a button and it becomes all of a sudden a machine that's global, no matter who you are, that's colorless. And I think that we must think in terms of we can launch to the world from where we are.
He got me. That's it.
Where we are. There's nothing we cannot do.
I agree with you that everyone needs to support, purchase, patronize, whatever, our products, services, and everything that we put out, right? Because, of course, the way the economy moves is that people are engaged. It's not just one community. But the ownership piece is important. And that's where I'm thinking, okay, so you were getting ready to go there. Go ahead.
Yeah. So understand, we haven't had the ability as a culture to actually walk into Oz and say, these are our ideas. Wizard of Oz, where can these ideas be created? Mm-hmm. We have taken our talents to other companies. Those companies has embodied those talents into products, and then it goes out to the market as brands. Understanding that what I'm trying to build is all of the capacity, all of the enablement tools, the actual factory, the actual ability to actually take out of your mind those things and turn them into a tangible reality without you thinking about what you needed to go ahead and make that happen. Just bring your talent because all of the other resources are here. That's why I bootstrapped my entire operation. I have never gotten a venture capital loan. Mm. I never jumped on a pitch stage in front of a group of Anglo-Saxons saying, please give me $200,000 because I have an idea. The minute you give your idea to them for that $200,000, you have already taken away our chance of victory, period. Period. So what I've started to do is now build all of that infrastructure. If you're a medical professional and you want to build medical solutions, well, I built an entire sector of innovation and development that will enable you to build that device or take that service over the network. We needed to own our own infrastructure, right? So in 2012, I became one of our nation's common carriers that has 50 gigahertz of spectrum nationwide. There's not another Black man that can say that to his credit today, right? But we're always looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at the smaller parts of the prize. Infrastructure is required. You can't take your dreams to the yellow brick road if the yellow brick road hadn't been built, right? So my goal was to come to Tulsa, lay the groundwork, put the infrastructure down, and then build the yellow brick road. And if Black Wall Street needed an Oz, well, I took up the mantle.
Elevation means a lot. And here's the access means more.
Yeah.
You shift the paradigm. We'll have our Black Wall Street. We'll have a street dedicated to what we can do. And
Black Wall State. I want Black Wall Country. I think
it's a nation. It's a nation. It's a nation. We have the ability to create a nation within a nation. It only takes one generation to do it. The thing is, we have to change the way we're thinking.
It's really good to see you, Reverend Jackson. I'm so glad you're in Tulsa, too. Being able to go back to a place that I know you've been many times, but to see so many young people particularly commemorating and learning more about Tulsa. So many people did not know. They didn't know the full extent of the massacre. And I know this is something you've been teaching for a long time. And finally, people are beginning to listen. And hopefully in your life at this point, after you're accomplishing so much, you are beginning to see the fruits of your labor, that there are so many young folks who are beginning to get what you've been telling us for a long time.
We should let them ride the massacre, for example. People do not know that the 10,000, they were deputized by the sheriff. No indictments, they did the sheriffs. They dropped bombs, Safe Oil Company, and used it to plan to drop bombs. So the first bomb was not dropped on Hiroshima, Pearl Harbor. Dropped on
American soil.
We're learning a lot about what happened that day. Sanford, for example, who owned a hotel, motel for the house, probably worth $100 million today, by the way. John Rogers, you know John Rogers. John Rogers, that was his great grandfather. Yes, and then he ran off to Kansas City, and his son tried to lawsuit him to save him. John Rogers' dad was the first black man in Chicago, and his mama, black female here in Chicago. John Rogers is fourth generation out of Wall Street. He's now on the other Wall Street, on the board of Nike and McDonald's, and he's growing. So the cement, some within us, water can't drown, and fire can't burn. Keep on coming. Mm. And keep coming.
Thank you. Love you.
We love you, Reverend. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
That's how we own it.
Give us an understanding of what's been happening. Obviously, no matter who you are, especially if you're black, there's going to be something going on. So we know there's been some controversy and some difficulties that you've been dealing with. What are they, and what needs to be done to try to get around it?
So in Oklahoma, during the entire COVID epidemic, I was one of those individuals that stepped up to aid the call of PPE manufacturing. Not only did I supply first line responders PPE mask and everything else, but I also worked with the state and local area to organize bringing my factory here stateside so that we wouldn't have to go through all of the import logistical hurdles that everyone else was having in the country. That effort took about $1.7 million out of my pocket, right? So we brought the factory down, got everything in line, and only to be denied the state or local contract. There was a level of compromise there done by the governor's office, the city's officials, and some large contract in the millions was awarded to a bar owner that had only filed a license the day that he was awarded this very large contract. Well, this raised my eyebrow, and it was literally, it was a slap in the face is what it really was, because here we had already been on a mission to support the community, first line responders, the emergency responders, the police departments, and all of the hospitals. We provided those things free of cost to them. But we weren't doing it just to get a state contract. You got to understand, there's individuals here that saw our ability way beyond building manufacturing for the mass and took aim at my company. Though the mass was actually being used as an instrument to acquire all of my company, to be quite honest with you. And I'm trying to be as tactful as I can, because this is a case that's ongoing. A local businessman, a lawyer that I thought was my lawyer, that was compromising his position. A state that has now convicted the person that they went with, because the guy never delivered more than 10,000 masks. They gave him millions, and he gave him 10,000 masks. I still have 500,000 masks in my warehouse right now that were built to them that they still haven't picked up. Today in Tulsa, I didn't want to bring this up during the whole commemoration ceremonies, because I think that the area has gone through enough pain, but under the underlying thing and the underlying story that's going on right now is the fact that a modern day lynching is being done, and they're just changing their faces. these guys would not, they were, one, embarrassed by the fact that our minority-based manufacturing company was able to do things that they, as a state or a city, could not do for the people of this community. And in order to go ahead and discipline me or tap my hand, they refused giving me any of the contracts, and then started to use their governance powers to go ahead and try to shut down or close down my factory.
So what are some of the things that they levied, you know, against you? What are some of the allegations?
So they, now you got to understand, this is 5 months into everyone has already received their masks. They sent the fire marshal and told me I need to close down because I needed to put new sprinkler systems in. Mm-hmm. Right? Simple. Now, my adjacent neighbor, he owns a carpet company, same sprinkler systems. Carpet catches on fire. Our masks were life-saving and all pneumatic. Nothing that could catch on fire there. That was their first tactic. Their second tactic was constantly bringing me up on standards. They had me go through rigorous testing of the product that was coming off of my production line. It was supposed to be deemed at N95 quality. Through every test that they came through, we tested N99%, over above the standard that they were asking for. So at every level of the litmus test that we excelled or exceeded what the standard would be, they would then make other excuses for why they couldn't continue to work with us.
I hear the attempt to shut you down, but when you say that they're attempting to take your company, is that something different, and what does that look like?
So you know, it's a pretty sophisticated web here. If you ask me, the reason why is totally, some people would have said it was impossible for Black Wall Street to be rebuilt, was because of how the power structure is here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. When you look at Greenwood right now, it's controlled by a handful of Anglo-Saxons that project themselves as the philanthropists of the community, but they literally just project themselves that way. They really block them in. There's a parking garage, a baseball field, a church, and a museum. Okay, and then there's one block of what was Black Wall Street. One block, right? Or two, behind the train track. Well, all of the ownership of that is those individuals, right? Any minority or Black business that was actually thriving, those people were gonna be a part of, so that they can control the matriarch of that business. Well, I'm an outsider, and I'm a totally different type of entrepreneur. I never came here with my hands out. In fact, I didn't mingle with anyone in Tulsa for the first 18 months. I just went right to work. They saw that as slighting the power structure here. There's a group that don't see color in that way, that wanna actually assist the Black businessman. But then that power group that wanna have some of the people that they intend to make their political figureheads positioned so that they can only continue to control the area. Well, these are the people that they'll support, and these people will be totally against you. They're in the law enforcement. They're in the fire departments. They're in the school systems. It's a web. It's really, really crazy. So I fell victim to this when I started to open my doors and accept what they called help. When an individual comes up to your door and says, hey, I love your operation, want to be a part of it. And I'm like, sorry, no, thank you. No. I just want to bring my guys from the local university. I'm not saying any name, but it might affect the lawsuit. I want to bring some guys that'll see what you're doing, because I think we can help you, right? And that all starts to become pressure. Before you know it, you're bombarded by the opportunity that you may be successful. Now, this is what would happen to any of you that would be coming to Tulsa. You would come and you would be welcome and you would be greeted, and it would be very kind, very open, until your plan is then released. And if your plan is malleable or small enough for them to be able to do themselves, then your plan is not going to be done by you. Your plan is going to be done by them, and they're going to kick you to the curb as that outgoer. I was a little differently because I was already rooted 18 months before they even knew I was here.
Right.
So now we're in a fight. One of those individuals became really integral to our company. We brought him in as one of our consuls, and that consul started to navigate our correspondence on our legal documentations to put himself in power in my company.
You know, unfortunately, we are not able to really get deeper into this conversation.
No, we can't.
Now.
We can't.
But there's so much more to learn. First of all, we want to know, is there somewhere that folks can go to learn about this? Are there articles about it? Or is it something that you're just beginning to talk about? And the other thing I want to say is that, unfortunately, your story is not new. Not saying this. I'm saying that this is Tamika Mallory saying it, speaking on my own behalf, that I know of far too many stories where when certain types of white people get involved, they try to strip the power of Black folks that own their own businesses or that have great organizations and ideas. We saw it happen even within the Women's March, where we built something incredible and certain types of white women got involved and utilized the attacks from the outside world as a way to try to take power. We didn't have to give it up. We could have said, this is our organization and we're going to hold on to it. But we would have been holding on to our own demise because at times you have to free yourself of those types of white folks. And that's just the truth. And so I just want to say to you that it's unfortunate that the story you're telling is one that I've heard so many times of folks who took the help, and the help ended up being very, very damaging. And so whatever we can do to support you, we want to do that. Please tell us if there are other ways for us to find out more. Do we just have to keep inviting you back to Street Politicians and making sure we get on other platforms?
Well, absolutely. We're going to start featuring it. Of course, iWoman TV is going to be covering some things as well. But I own, I don't know if you guys realize that, but I own the local newspaper here.
Oh, wow.
So I own the Hispanic and the English publication here, La Semana and Persona. So we're going to be getting the story out. The thing is, I think these people tried it with the wrong one.
Mm.
You with me? It's a constant story told, but it's not a story told when you go up against something that's as strong as the adversary, right? So there wasn't a need for us to go public with this. I wanted the commemoration to move along the lines that it did move. And if everything goes well, this will be one of those situations where these guys take their deceitful desires elsewhere and allow me to continue to progress the work that's at my hand here building Black Wall Street. Because they have to know that now I have Tamika Mallory on my back, and
I'm hearing, I'm
and
watching.
The rest of the coalition that's now fully aware of their tactics, because there will never be another public lynching. I am never going to be a martyr, and the work that we're doing right now is way too important for my people and the rest of America.
That's
you
right.
So
for everyone. Thank you. Go ahead, my son.
Thank you, brother, because you know what you created for, you know, just Black generations, and the way you've evolved the culture and all the things that you're doing, you've done, and you and you're currently still doing, you know, I just want to say I appreciate you. We always celebrate our brothers who are innovators, you know, and culture shifters when they're gone. So I just want to give you your flowers now, brother, and say
thank you, man.
Yes, we just learning about, you know, Black history, man. Black history and Black present all at the same time. So we just want to say thank you for what you do and what you're doing for the culture and anything that we can do. You know, this platform is yours. Whenever you need us, we're here, man. You family, and you know, you're something that the blueprint.
I love you for that, bro. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Leo, the Blueprint Alexander. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, King.
Thank you, Mr. Mika. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
That was a dope interview, man. Leo Alexander, the Blueprint, you know, that's his new nickname, man. When you see people that great and evolutionary, and you don't even know, like, this man should be in history books. You know?
Like, we got to do our own research because we don't know him that well. I think I've heard of some of his work, and I'm trying to like place where it is that I learned about some of the work that he's done in the past, and just try to, I'm just trying to, you know how you try to figure out, like, I heard of him somewhere. Who was it that told me, and why are we not fighting for him? I don't know. We got to do some research and figure out where's the hole.
Well, I'm definitely going to do some research. But what I've learned, you know, a little bit of research I've done so far is just amazing, man. And that brings me to my I don't get it. When we have brothers like that, and we have other dynamic, you know, innovators, culture shifters, and finance experts, and all of them are saying what we need to be doing, that, you know, we need economic empowerment, we need to own our own things, we need to build it. I just don't get why it isn't happening. You know, that it's so frustrating that we keep having, like, we've had a meeting, like you called a meeting years ago, where we set so many different influencers in a room, in Sylvia's, and they'll forget it. And we sat around, it's a round table with everybody that said, we need to be doing these things. And we had one of the dopest meetings, you know? And from that meeting, it was just words, you know? And I was about to say, what did come out of it is Jay Morrison created
the Tulsa Real Estate Fund,
in which he created a whole, you know, crowdfunding for Black people and created the Black House, and which we are invested in. So something did, but I'm just trying to say the overwhelming majority of people in that room, which should have been accomplished as a collective with everybody, not just one, because we always do that, right? What we do is we have these meetings with a bunch of people and say, okay, let's do this. And then one person to go and do it and everybody else to follow. What is it going to take us to get on code, as we will? Like, I just don't get.
Go ahead.
I just see a lot of different cultures, not different ethnicities. They work together. They build together. They build infrastructure. They build organizations. They build companies. And they continue to build and they continue to take over. I want to know, what is it going to take for us to do it? I just don't get why we haven't done that.
I think that it is a function of white supremacy that we've been dealing with for a very long time. I'm just thinking about the meltdown, if you will, that we see happening from so many people around the Black Lives Matter movement in this moment, right? And I know why. It's because, you know, while there always should be accountability, while there always should be checks and balances, all those things, I don't disagree with them, but there also is a direct attempt to destroy and divide leaders and the movement and people from supporting the movement. And we fall for it every time. Every time we start to believe the narratives that we hear, they get a few Black faces to go out and start critiquing, challenging, going after, if you will, certain individuals who have voices. They do. This is not new. It's not new. It's the same process over and over and over again. And every single time we fall into it, I have friends that mother and daughter and family members that are not even speaking because the one person who knows some of the folks that are in the movement, believe stuff that they're hearing from people who are not in the movement, do nothing for our people, nothing for our communities. And they're listening to those individuals and saying, oh, well, maybe those people are right. And so therefore it makes it very difficult for folks to get together and to do anything as a collective, because the tactic of the Willie Lynch syndrome that may not have been real in terms of it being in effect in the past, right? They say Willie Lynch is not true. He wasn't a real person. But whoever wrote the letter is someone who wrote it understanding exactly our conditions, our attitudes, the mindset, and also the intentional destruction of the Black community and how it is designed. And so we follow it all the time. Every time we follow it by becoming agents in our own destruction. And so therefore, when you say, well, why aren't people getting together? You have so many folks that may say, well, I want to work with other people, but I'm concerned about whether or not they're going to hurt me, lie on me, cheat me, or I want to try to get it done first so that everybody else has to thank me as the person who created it. And until we get past those mindsets, I'm not sure that we're going to accomplish it. One thing I will say is, as you and I both, and more recently on a regular basis, I talk to Puff, right? I talk to him and I know for sure that he has a clearer mind and he's really seriously trying to figure out how to move us to another place. But even he will start and then see the challenges he starts being like, I don't know how we're going to get there, right? So in this moment, when he's coming to us and he's saying, hey, I'm ready to start shifting the culture. We all need to start working together. We need to help him to do the work because he has the voice. Look at Jay. Jay, I'm not saying he's done everything right. You know, me and Puff have gone back and forth about some of his moves in terms of how he sees the movement. But you know they have an interest. You know what they're trying to accomplish. So if we can encourage them, if we can work with them, if we can create the type of insulation that we all need to be able to move this thing forward, perhaps we can get somewhere. But I think it's going to take not just the big guys, but it's going to take the big guys, the street activists, it's going to take organizers of all different types. It's going to take a whole bunch of us to be like really in on making this thing happen.
Well, I definitely agree with that. I just want us to do it sooner than later, man, because I keep hearing it and I'm watching the level of consciousness that our whole culture is coming to.
Right.
Everybody is seeing what's happening. They realizing the blueprint. They realizing what we've been through. They realizing the blueprint to move past it. And everybody is saying it over here and they saying it over there. I just want us to collectively come together and I just say it and just do it, man. So that's just me.
That's
and with
it.
That said, another amazing episode. Shout out to Lael, the blueprint, Alexander, you know, for his input and what he's contributed to the culture. And shout out to you, man, for just being a good co-host, man. You know,
we're the number one
podcast.
Number one, kid. Number one in our minds.
No, not
in our minds.
That's our mouth to God's ears. We the number one.
Say, share, like,
share, like, man.
Yeah.
If you got any topics you want us to talk about, send us a message. Let us know. We're here for you. We appreciate the support. It's been overwhelming support. Everybody is telling us, you know, how much they appreciate our podcast, and we appreciate y'all too. And with that said, I'm not going to always be right. Tamika's starting to be a little more right than she usually is, but she ain't going to always be wrong, but we both going to always be authentic.
Peace.
That's how we own it. That's how we own it.